We're going to have a chat to Chris Moyles. 3 years after his sacking as the breakfast show presenter at Radio 1, he's backed, proclaimed himself as the saviour of Radio 1. He's now hosting the breakfast show on Radio X. I was speaking to him and I asked him what it was like to be back in front of the mic.
It's nice. I like it. I took 3 years off radio, and being back is really lovely. It's really enjoyable. And I didn't really miss it when I was away. And now
I don't believe you.
I missed elements of it, but genuinely I didn't miss it enough to want to go back to just anything. I thought, you know what, I'm going to have a break and I will go back at some point when the right thing comes along. And this genuinely feels like the right thing.
So that's different, isn't it? That's nearly a political answer in that, because you didn't want to go back.
It's a genuine answer.
Yeah, fine. You didn't want to go back until it was the right thing. Doesn't mean you didn't miss it. And the, you know...
Hang on a second. I didn't miss it enough that I would just take anything to go back.
Sure, I get that.
And if I was going to go back, it was going to be... I wanted it to be big.
Sure, I get that.
So... But in the meantime, I had an argument with Hursty, with our mutual friend Stephanie Hurst, and she goes, liar, yeah, and I'm like, you've got to remember, I did it. All I wanted to do since I was a kid was be on the radio, and I was very lucky that that's what I've done, from the age of 16 to the age of 38. Mm-hmm. And the thing about radio is, even though there are elements of what your job that puts you in the limelight and celebrity and you're a bit famous, you essentially have a Monday to Friday job. It's just that instead of being in an office, you're in a studio. So it's not like you're an actor and you do a project for 3 months and then take a couple of months off. You are working Monday to Friday, week in, week out. So there is, you get holiday like everyone else. With a little bit, you probably get a little bit more holiday than your average office worker. So I'd never had a month off, ever. Now, I know that most people listening haven't had, and they're probably going, oh, poor you. But in that world that we supposedly live in, so I wanted to take a break, and I did, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
So I get all of that.
Right.
I've been doing this for quite a long time, 20-odd years, whatever. It becomes part of your life. It becomes part of who you are.
Yeah.
You have to put yourself into it. So I'm guessing that the break is great for a month or two, and maybe when it gets to a year and a half, you start thinking, what else am I going to do? Did that happen?
It's like anything. It's like going on holiday. If you go away for like a long weekend, you're not away long enough to relax. It takes you a couple of days to get into a holiday.
Yeah.
If you're lucky enough to you can get 10 days away or a 2 week holiday, you know, that's a good holiday, because after 3 or 4 days, now you relax. Now you're off, your work heads off and you can relax. And it was like that with my time off. And the year went so quick that I felt cheated at the end of it and thought, well, I don't need to go back to anything. I'm gonna carry on.
Could you have afforded to never work again?
No.
Right. So there was a pressure that most people have too. Work again.
No, I'll be honest. It wasn't pressure. You know, I've been very lucky. I've worked ever since I was a kid. Since I was 15, I've been paid for work. I am in a job that can pay well, but traditionally doesn't. I was at the top of my class in what I did. You know, I did very, very well. I worked hard for it. And I don't have a very lavish lifestyle. I'm not married. I don't have children. And I don't do a lot. You and I are very similar. Holidays, we'll spend a bit of money on the holiday.
Yeah.
That's the break. But Monday to Friday, Monday to Monday, week in, week out, I don't have a lavish life. So, you know, I saved enough money that I could. And also in this industry as well, and this is very difficult to talk about without sounding like an idiot, but in this industry that I'm in, I left Radio 1 and went straight into a musical for Andrew Lloyd Webber. And I toured that for 6 months.
I went to see that.
You did, and thank you very much. And it paid well.
Yeah.
And then they had a DVD of it. Then I did my own tour, and then I released an album. And that money from that alone was fine. To keep me, for the next year.
Yeah,
or so.
But
so
was
I was very, very lucky.
But you see, was that about money, or was that about just a slight fear of leaving a space of doing nothing? So you're right. You did put yourself into other stuff. So you didn't sit in the house doing nothing. You were in a musical. You were releasing DVDs.
That was for the first few months after Radio 1.
Yeah.
So I left Radio 1 in September, and then by Christmas, all those projects had finished.
And then what?
Then I wanted to write. Yeah. I've always wanted to write. Never had the time to write. So I thought, I'm going to take a year off, and one of the things I'm going to do is write. And that's what I did. And I went and spent a bit of time in America, in LA. I have friends there, and I would go and spend a month or so there and then come back for a few months and do some writing. And I started training and really looking after myself and just enjoying my life. And what I got out of it, which was never, ever, ever the plan, was because it was genuinely just to take a break and get off the grid a little bit, yeah, and concentrate, put some time into my life, the training and the writing, which sounds silly, but it's true. But what I got from it was a retrospective view of my life over the couple of years that I was off.
Because you'd always planned, Chris, to do 10 years at Radio 1, right?
10 years on the breakfast show, yeah.
Yeah.
Then leave.
And you're a guy that likes to get your own way. And Ben...
To an extent, yeah.
And Ben...
Ben,
who was the boss, he cut that short by about a year.
Yeah.
And I knew that story. Yeah. What I didn't know until I was reading for this today was that Ben used to be your producer, used to be a mate, correct?
Yeah, he produced us on the early morning show at Radio 1. He wasn't my first producer, but I think he was my second. And he was the producer when we did the early morning show, and then we went to the afternoon show on Radio 1 for 5 years, and he produced us for the first three of the afternoon.
So what's it like, a mate that used to be your producer, getting rid of you?
That didn't come into it, because as much as we were pally, he's the boss. So that was fine. You know, you kind of, you know each other well enough that you're relaxed around each other, but you still have to have that mutual respect for the other one, and that was fairly easy.
How did he set?
We had a meeting. They were trying to get a meeting with me for ages. And I was filming some TV show at the time and doing a lot of the stuff outside of the show. So I was literally out the door every morning at 10 past 10 after the radio show. And they were trying to get an interview, a meeting. And my agent at the time was like, well, I'll come and see you. We'll have the chat. Oh, you could really do with Chris being there. So eventually we went in for literally a 5 minute meeting. And the idea was, look, if you're that desperate, we can do a 5 minute meeting, but Chris has to leave because he's filming. He's got to leave and be in a car and go to wherever he's doing. And we went in, me and my agent, and Ben sits down and goes, well, this is going to be very difficult. And I knew immediately from the look on his face and what he said that I thought he was going to say, we need to have a conversation about wrapping up on the breakfast show. So 5 minutes just to say, we need to get a proper meeting in the book to talk about how we're going to dismantle the show and move on.
Two other things in the station. That's what you thought.
Well, no, I thought the initial 5 minute meeting was to go, look, I need 5 minutes with you to say, it's time that we look at bringing the show to a close. So let's meet next week and talk about how we're going to do that. And he didn't. He just goes, I'm going to take you off. And we're going to announce it now. And my agent at the time went crazy. And then those two
what
started...
What does that mean, crazy? So what would your agent
say? Because she didn't know. And it's kind of not how that... It doesn't really work like that in the industry.
Was she
know?
Screaming at him? Was she shouting at him?
She didn't scream.
What's crazy?
She goes, Ben, you can't do this. And he goes, well, and we need to announce it now. So it's now about 10:15. They want to announce it in the news at 10:30.
No.
Yeah. And I go, I said, well, hang on a second, Ben. And she goes, you can't do this. And he goes, well, I can because I can't trust this. It's not going to leak out and blah, blah, blah. She goes, well, why would we leak out? That's not good for us. And this, and then those two kind of started. And I'm sitting there going, this is very weird. Because Radio 1's a conveyor belt. At some point, you will drop off the other end. You either jump off or you drop off. And this was, in fairness, them going, it's been great, but we got to move on. So these two are kind of at each other, you know, not like cat and dog, but they're getting stuck into each other. And I go, guys.
I've left my phone on.
That's terrible. I hope that's someone calling in to say how much they're enjoying. That's my old agent.
I'm sorry, it's very unprofessional.
It's fine.
It's like something you would do.
You can edit it out.
Yeah. There's none of this being edited.
So those two are at each other's throat like cat and dog. And I just calmly went, guys, the pair of you, stop it. Sit down, stop. You sit down. You stop. I'll deal with this. Ben, what are you saying? What are you thinking? Because I'm thinking you can't announce this at 10:30. I'll announce this. You can't announce this. I should have earned that right. And I've been at Radio 1 15 years.
Yeah.
You know, proper, you know, boy to man or boy to slightly older boy scenario. And it went on. It went on for a long time. I'm not going to give the whole story of it because A, it's a very long story, and B, a certain amount of stuff should stay. You know, I don't want to throw anybody under the bus because things I say will get quoted and taken out of context and whatnot. This is fine. This interview of you and me talking, but you know, things will get picked up. But it was farcical, and we fixed it. But here's the greatest thing: I didn't know. But they'd called everybody else from the radio show into the boardroom for a chat. And they thought the chat with me would take 5 minutes. It didn't. It took 45 minutes before the event. I said, look, I've got to speak to the team. There's a lot of people work on the show. I've got to tell them what's going on. They need to know. It's only right, you know, because they might need to look. I don't know what your plans are for these people because they're all staff. None of them work for me. I need to know that these people are looked after and they're cool. And I don't even know where they are. I've got to go and call them. And they're like, oh, no, they're all next door. And they've been sitting in the boardroom waiting. It was so ridiculous. But the weirdest thing is, Dave Vitti used to work with us on the show. As he was going up the stairs to the boardroom, he bumps into Nick Grimshaw and goes, hello, Nick, what are you doing in here? And he goes, they've called me in for a meeting, but I don't know why. Yeah, and he goes, well, I think I can guess.
Yeah.
So it was all a little bit panto and a little bit crazy, but we sorted it all out and it was fine. And Radio 1 were very gracious. They let me do... say goodbye for a few weeks.
So I interviewed Paul Gambaccini last week.
Right.
Paul's been through the court case, innocent man, all that kind of stuff. But Paul said during the interview that one of the biggest disappointments to him was the BBC when he was in trouble because he had spent decades in the BBC.
Right.
And he didn't feel senior manager stood by him. Which leads me to my question to you, that when you've been in Radio 1 for that length of time and they essentially want to give you 15 minutes notice before an announcement,
yeah,
was that disloyal?
It was disappointing. And as it turned out, the way we worked it out was we came to an agreement, it was all fine.
Yeah, but that's a lightweight answer.
It's an honest answer.
How do you feel about the BBC doing that to you?
Okay, so to answer that, I need to give you another conversation that I had once. Andy Parfitt was the controller of Radio 1 for a long time. And he said to me once, do you feel valued by the BBC? And I said, no. And he looked quite surprised. We were having a drink. We were a social drink one night. I said, I feel very valued by Radio 1, but do I feel valued by the BBC? I don't know who the BBC is. You know, I worked for a big department of a huge company, is the way I looked at it. And in our building, because Radio 1 was in a separate building, that was fine. But as far as the BBC goes, Radio 5 Live is a huge radio station. It is one big department of a ridiculously sized company. So there are people at the BBC, big managerial people that I never met. So and that's just the way it was.
But there's a human part. I'm going to move on from this. But
my answer boring?
No.
All right. Not what you wanted?
No, it was exactly what I wanted.
When did we play records on the show, by the way?
But you see, there's an interesting power dynamic there in that you've got you, their star, the guy that was doing the business for them that they couldn't get anybody else to do because you were doing the business no matter what they did or didn't think about you, right? And then all of a sudden, the click of a finger, they decide it's over. Now, I'm guessing that actually there were signs in the year up to that, that they were probably hassling you or niggling or all of that kind of stuff. And then you start to lose a bit of your power as a star. And how do you handle that as Chris Moyles?
I was very aware that the BBC Trust wanted... They seemed obsessed with getting the average age of the Radio 1 listener down. They said it was too high. And they were obsessed with getting that age younger. And we all talked about it. And I talked to Ben, who's about it, and Andy. And then when Andy left, Ben took over the job. And we talked about it a lot. It wasn't working. And I had views why it wasn't working. And also why, actually, it was an irrelevant thing to even worry about. But they'd started this ball rolling now. So at some point, Ben, as the boss, had to do something to say, look, I am doing the best that I can. And the biggest move he could have made would be to take me off the breakfast show and put a younger guy in and go, ta-da. And that's what he did. So
it was the right move?
For them? It's all irrelevant.
Okay.
Because... Radio 1, people grow up listening to it and they don't want to leave. going to Radio 2, for a lot of people, not everyone, is an admission that you're old. I listened to Radio 1 when I was younger. I'm now at that age. I need to listen to Radio 2. And for many people, they don't want to make that switch. So it's a unique radio station where you're broadcasting to a target of younger people, but you will have a lot of older demographic listening. And that was always the case. That's always been like that. It will be very difficult to change it without hemorrhaging listeners. So for me, it was a pointless task. And I would have said to the BBC Trust, it's irrelevant. Don't worry about it. Trust us. We are doing our job. If this was any other company in the world, they'd all be getting pay rises. If this was a new brand of cola drink, we're bringing back cherry cola. And we're aiming it at 15 to 24 females. And 15 to 24 females bought it. But so did 25 to 34-year-old males and 35 to 44-year-old females. They go, well, that's a bonus. But as long as you're still hitting your target, well done, great, well done. And Radio 1, no matter what you think of Radio 1, it's always hit that demographic of the youth audience. Even we did. We had loads of teenagers listening to us, far more than has been reported. But they had the older thing.
What do you think of the new guy?
Of what's new guy?
Burn, what do you call him? The breakfast host. I don't even know.
That's brilliant.
Who?
Who's
the guy on Radio 1?
Oh, Nick.
Nick. Yeah.
It's hardly the new guy. He's been doing it for 3 years.
What do you think of him?
On the radio or in real life?
And on the radio.
He's great.
Do you really mean that?
Yeah, I really do. He doesn't do what I do.
Is he as good as you?
He's different to me. He's different to me. Am I as good as you? I'm different.
You're better than me.
I'm different to you. I'm different. You can do what I can't do.